Bruchim Aboyim, as we begin Be'ezus Hashem, a new series, as we continue our series on Musan Avedus Hashem, we begin a new Midah, and this is the Midah of Ka'as, anger. By way of introduction, let's just point out the Avedah on the Midah of Ka'as is not an easy Avedah, and essentially it's different in kind to what we've been learning until now, which are the midos of Chesed and Hakaras HaToiv. Chesed and Hakaras HaToiv are an outlook, are a first type of conduct, a midot Toivah, a very important midot Toivah that are essential in our Avodas Hashem. Ka'as is a reaction. Ka'as is a reaction. Somebody gets into a situation where he is koyes, that is a reaction to a situation which has made him angry. So it's a different type of avodah, therefore, that we are, Be'ezus Hashem, going to study. The middle of Ka'as, also by introduction, we might mistakenly think, at least some of us, that this is perhaps not relevant to us. We all know that when it comes, for example, to the Midah of Chesed and Hakaras HaToiv, we can surely all do with a chizuk. But when it comes to the Midah of Ka'as, we might be thinking to ourselves, at least some of us, this is not relevant to me, I don't get angry, or Hashem, I don't need to be involved in anger management courses, and therefore this is totally irrelevant. But the truth of the matter is, to one extent or another, we all do suffer from the midorah of Ka'as, as we'll soon explain, because essentially that is a human nature. Essentially, it's human nature to get angry. As we see a young child who has not worked on his business at all, to one extent or another, will certainly get angry if somebody treads on his toe, or even worse, takes away one of his toys. That is the teva. A person was created in that way. It's true, it might manifest itself differently with different people, indeed that is true, but I think it's wrong to think for anybody that this is a middle which is irrelevant to me. It's relevant to all of us. Essentially, the middle of Ka'as is really a byproduct of the middle which precedes it, and that is Gaivah. Essentially, therefore, if we were really to study the terrible Midah of Ka'as, we would first have to explore Gaivah, and of course in turn the other side of the coin, which is Anovah. And the Midahs of Gaivah and Anovah are indeed very, very difficult Midahs to work on. We know that from the Loshon of Chazal. Chazal tell us that ma'oid shpal ruach, a person should be very, very lowly of spirit, which has nothing to do with self-esteem, it's an outlook of haughtiness or lack of, and it's clearly a middle that takes a lot of avodah. When the Rambam famously writes that one should not go to either extreme when it comes to our middos, he says the exception, however, is with regard to gaiva. Person should be ma'oid, Shval Ruach, a person should be very, very modest. So here the Rambam does not see place for a middle approach. And therefore, if Ka'as, anger, is the manifestation of Gaivah, then we clearly are aware that this is a very difficult Avodah, like all Avodah Hashem, it leaves a lot of Siyata Dishmaya, but the Siyata Dishmaya is based, kol kuloi, on how much we put in our effort to deal with this Midah. As a headline to the entire Midah of Ka'as, we would say that a person gets angry when we might be able to design all types of different scenarios. Whether somebody treads on your toe, or parks in your parking space, or took the aliyah that you thought you were going to get to shul, or didn't invite you for Shabbos, or insulted you, we can all conjure up several scenarios that might trigger Ka'as. But the underlying theme to all of them is one solitary cause of chaos, and that is a person gets angry when he feels that his issues, which means his personality, the ani, has been trodden on, or somehow downplayed or minimized. That's really the underlying cause of all chaos. It's true, it might well play out in different scenarios, in different ages, in different situations. But the underlying cause of chaos is when a person feels that his ani, his self, has been somewhat minimized. And therefore we understand why this is a direct result of the midah of gaiva. The bigger the ani, the easier it takes to bring him down and therefore trigger anger. The smaller the ani, therefore we understand it is much more difficult to get him angry. We all know in Chazal it was very difficult to anger Hillel Hazokim. On Erev Shabbos they tried to get him angry, all different ridiculous questions at the most difficult time, Erev Shabbos, and he did not get angry. And the Gemara describes Hillel as the great honor. And the Samusai de Hillel, the modesty of Hillel. Why do we describe Hillel as being modest? We should really describe him as being very calm in nature. And the answer is no. There is no such thing as a calm nature. There is a modest person who therefore does not get angry because his ani is not so big. The smaller the ani, the less there is to minimize, and therefore in turn, less reason to get angry. The haughtier a person is, the bigger the ani is, therefore the more chance there is that something will chas v'shalom tread on that very large ani, and maybe that's what triggers anger. The problem is that when a person is angry, he's almost always convinced that he is getting angry for good reason, a justified reason. I ought to get angry. Sometimes we might even justify it and say, the person I'm getting angry at will benefit from my anger. This is, of course, most manifest when it comes to a parent or a teacher who, in an honest moment, might just admit that he lost his temper. But at the time, he convinces himself, no, the child needed it, the Talmud needed it. The real truth of the matter is, if it is unsettled anger, then really what it is that the child stepped on the parent's ani, or the Talmud stepped on the Rebbe's ani. No more and no less. The danger of anger, and we need to examine what exactly happens when a person gets angry. When a person gets angry, and that ani, his big self, has been somehow insulted, then what happens is he is no longer able to think or behave rationally. And that's what anger is. Anger is a total disproportionate reaction to what might have been done to him. In other words, when a person gets angry, it doesn't mean that he was wrong for getting angry because he wasn't insulted, or he wasn't upset, or the other person was indeed correct. No, that may not be the case. But the disproportionate reaction to it is due to a total lack of self-control, because once the ani, my very essence, my very self, my total personality has been reduced, has been minimized, then what happens is the seichel, his sense, automatically stops working. Automatically stops working. And that's why very often you will see that somebody gets angry, and after he calms down, he will admit that I regret getting angry, and I realize and I see that it was out of place, or it was totally disproportionate. And the answer is, therefore, because you lost your seichel at the time. Memela, we need to understand, therefore, when we work on the middle of Kaas, there is no real way to work on the middle of Kaas directly. Rather, we need to get to the root of it. Somebody who suffers from Kaas, and this, you'll excuse me, is therefore the obvious problem with all books that deal with anger management, which are not coming from Da'at Torah. They're not dealing with the shayresh of the Kaas. It's all fine and well to say, next time somebody steps on your toe, before you yell at him, count to 25. That doesn't help, because it's a reaction. One therefore needs to deal with the underlying cause of that reaction. And if the underlying cause of the reaction called Kaas is gaiva, then the real avoida on the middle of Kaas must necessarily therefore home in on gaiva versus anova, in reducing the ani. And that's a very big task. But it's much easier if we know what the task in hand is. If we try and challenge, we try and deal with the middle of Kaas directly, then we'll be unsuccessful. I'll give you an example. Imagine somebody would step on your toes. Undoubtedly, that would inflict pain. Imagine telling somebody, can you try and work on, next time somebody steps on your toe, it should not inflict pain. There's no way that can happen. It's a natural reaction. When you step on somebody's toe, it hurts. The only way, therefore, is to do some pre-work. If you would wear thicker shoes, if you would somehow numb that area, then stepping on the toe will not trigger the pain. But if not, you cannot tell somebody, don't be in pain. That doesn't deal with the cause of the issue. And the same over here as well. You cannot tell somebody, don't become angry. But he's angered me. Rather, we have to work on the root, the cause of why a person becomes angry, and that's where our avoda has to home in. Now, this is, interestingly enough, in Yonah Ziyonah. Why is this in Yonah Ziyonah? Because the Gemara in Brachas tells us, draws a comparison between somebody who becomes drunk, which is what the week of Purim is about if it's done properly. The Gemara says that somebody who becomes drunk and somebody who becomes angry are one of the same. In fact, we all know the famous Maamar Chazal, Ogom Nikar, a person can become recognized Bekisoi, Bekoisoi, Ubekaasoi, literally translated through his pocket, through his anger, and through his cup of wine. So let's go slowly. What is the comparison between somebody getting drunk or drinking wine and somebody getting angry? And the answer is, just like we understand that once you drink, you lose your seichel. Adlo yoda ben oror homon ubaruch mordechai. You lose your seichel. You are no longer able to be focused. You are no longer able to gauge any situation with sense. You have lost control of your seichel. Which, let's explain what that means. Every person has essentially what's called in the Sforim chelek habahamis, his animalistic nature. You will see this most evidently in a young baby. A young baby essentially does not have a seichel. A cotton doesn't have that. Doesn't have seichel. So he's only focused on one thing, just like a behema, and that is myself. When a child becomes hungry, he will yell and scream until he is fed. It makes no difference if people are sleeping at the time or there's no food available, he'll just yell until somebody deals with what he needs. That's the nefesh, the bahamis shaboy, the animalistic nature, the self-centered nature that a person is born with. as we said, many midos ro'os are essentially, we can replace the word midos ro'os with teva. That's the untrained, uncontrolled nature of a person. And that is what Avodas HaMidos is all about, changing one's nature. The way we change one's nature is with a koyach of seichel. The seichel is able to govern one's nature. So even though one has a natural tendency to scream at 3 o'clock in the morning because I need some food, the baby who doesn't have any seichel will do just that. Somebody else will not scream at 4 o'clock in the morning. Again, not because he's not hungry. You cannot tell somebody, if you step on his toe, it shouldn't hurt. That's a natural reaction. You cannot tell somebody who hasn't eaten in a few hours, don't be hungry. That's a natural feeling. The question is, how do you react to that? So a cotton, a child who has no seichel, will just react in the way that suits him best, and I will scream until I get food. An adult might be as hungry or more hungry, but his koyach haseichel allows him to control his teva and tells him that however hungry I may be, it does not justify waking somebody else up to get food. The baby doesn't have that koyach of seichel, so he's left with his unworked upon teva. When a person gets shikha, and this unfortunately is a true reality, and sometimes it's evident in a very painful way on Purim, the true ani is unmasked. How ironic it is that we talk about Purim being the day that we wear the mask, but essentially it's the day that we remove the mask. That's exactly what drinking is all about, which is a whole separate discussion why that is the Avodas HaPurim. But that's exactly what Purim is about. The true Ani actually surfaces. It's the Ani without the koyach of seichel. When a person becomes drunk, he is no longer in control. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah writes quite clearly in Siman Tzadi Tes, that if a person becomes so drunk that he's not in control, he is kashoita l'chol dov. He is considered like a shoita. We know in which category a shoita finds himself in. Which category is that? Cheresh, shoita, the cotton. A shoita is like a cotton. Somebody who is drunk is like a shoita. So one and one is two. Somebody who is drunk is like a cotton. He has no seichel. He actually has seichel, but he's not in control of that seichel. What is left, therefore, is his unbridled nefesh habahamis. If a person has worked on himself, then to the contrary, you will see Gedolei Yisrael, for example, becoming shikha on Purim, and you will see magnificence shine through. People who have not worked upon themselves, you see the opposite come through. It's the ani. And that's why Chazal are drawing this comparison between becoming drunk and becoming angry. Because the tzad hashoveh is that in both cases one loses one's seichel, one has no control whatsoever of one's seichel. And that's why the Gemara now adds a third example in this list. Odom nikar mekisoi Bekoisoi ubekaasoi. Bekaasoi, as we mentioned, is his anger. Bekoisoi is his cup of wine. He's nikkered. His ani comes through. You can see where he's holding. What about bekisoi? What does it mean, bekisoi? Bekisoi means his pocket. And this is another example which is on the same list. A person identifies himself, can identify himself with how much he owns. His money becomes a representation not of what he has, but rather of what he is. There is this terrible, terrible expression that you sometimes hear, How much is he worth? How much is he worth? Do you mean how much money does he happen to have in his bank account? How much is he worth? What is he? David HaMelech said, Va'ani Tfilo, Va'ani Sholem. David HaMelech identified himself with concepts of Luchnia. Va'ani Tfilo. He did not say, Va'ani Mispalel. I daven as a verb. Rather, Ani Tfilo. I am an entity of Tfilo. This is most clearly demonstrated, I think, if you look in Parshas Vayeshev. Yosef HaTzadik has two dreams. There is a magnificent deal made by the Beit HaLevi. What's the common denominator between the two dreams? One is the bundles of corn and one of the stars. In both cases, they all bow down to Yosef. Look at the psukim and you will see a remarkable difference that the Beit HaLevi picks up on. In the first dream, he says, there, my bundle was in the middle, surrounded by yours, Vatishtachaveno la'alumosi, and they all bow down to my bundle. It does not say they bow down to me. They bow down to my bundle. But in the next dream, what does it say? V'achadatar koichovim, 11 stars, mishtachavim li, bowing down to me. Ask the Beit HaLevi, why in the first dream does it say they bow down la'alumosi to my bundle, and in the second it says they bow down to me? There's the Beit HaLevi, a gevulding of pshat. This is the difference. Because the first dream represents Yosef HaTzadik's superiority in Gashmir. It's alumosi, it's food. That's not me. That's my bundle of corn. That's not me. The second dream, which is the Kechovim, represents his superiority in Ruchnius. I identify myself with my Ruchnius. That's Mishtachavim Li. Not Mishtachavim to my star. I am my star because my star is my Ruchnius, and that's what I am. Phenomenal pshat by the Beit HaLevi. What we're describing, what Chazal are talking about over here, I think the best example will be Ephraim. You remember when Ephraim uses his vav? From Aleph Pei Resh Vavnun to Aleph Pei Resh Nun. The Rishonim explain, what is the gematria of Ayin Pei Resh Nun? It's exactly 400. Which is the price that he charged Avraham Avinu for Ma'aret HaMachpelah. I think there's a tremendous oimek over here. I think the remez is not just he happened to charge 400, so that's the gematria of his name, but rather the money becomes his essence. Ephraim is the money. That's what he is. That's why he lost the vav. Not just as a punishment. Ephraim becomes his money. The money is his very essence. Ephraim is 400. That's what the gematria always represents. The nature, the mahus of the person or item. So those are the two opposite ends of the spectrum. You have Yosef HaTzadik and David HaMelech, who's saying, Mishtachavim li, v'ani tfila. But then you have the Rosha, who says that, no, my money is myself. How much is Ephraim worth? That's a valid question, and the answer is 400 zuz. That's how much he's worth, because his money is his. How much is Yosef HaTzadik worth? Not his bundle, of course. His ruchnius, that is his worth. That is his worth. And that's what Chazal means, that a person can be recognized through not only his cup of wine and his anger, but through kisei. We are talking about somebody who identifies himself with his money. And therefore, when he's asked to part company with his money, worse still, if somebody takes his money away, he actually feels that somebody has taken part of himself away. Because he identifies himself with his money. His ani is manifest in his pocket. in his purse. Yosef HaTzadik's purse was not his. That was what he had. But the Rasha is what he is. And that's why Chazal are drawing a comparison. The common denominator between the anger, the drunkard, and one who identifies himself with the money is, it's all about the ani, which becomes nisgaler through these various situations. In a case of anger, he loses his seichel, and the ani comes through. In a case of somebody who is drunk, he has no control over his seichel, and therefore the ani comes through. And so too in the case of money, this is what Chazal describes, Adam Bahul al-Namoinai. Person becomes frantic. What does it mean, Bahul? He loses his seichel, he loses his mind. He becomes Bahul al-Namoinai, because it's not something that he has, it's something that he is. As we mentioned, therefore, the terrible manifestation of a person who has an inflated ani is this leader of chaos. The opposite, therefore, is true as well. The greater the honor, the less you will automatically be kayed. One has to know, however, and this will be our final point for tonight, that a general, very important yesod in all of our avodas hamidos, but it manifests especially in the middle of kaas, is, as we mentioned in several other occasions, the physical world that we find ourselves in is no more than a moshul for the ruchni world that we are really living in. So let's for a moment look at an example in the physical world, in the Olam HaGashmi that we find in. Imagine somebody's feeling weak, he goes to his doctor, the doctor says you need exercise. So he begins doing press-ups and weights every day. The more he does that, the stronger he gets. The more he ignores that task, he's lazy, the weaker he becomes. So either way, that latent koyach that he has in him will either be manifest, he'll become stronger, which means he always had the capacity to do so, he just needed extended work, or it will lie dormant, because he will ignore the doctor's instructions, and to the contrary, he'll become weaker, weaker, and weaker. That is a muscle to the Olam HaRuchni. A person has a natural tendency, as we said, to become angry. And that's why we began. Nobody is removed. There is nobody for whom this subject is not relevant, albeit in different degrees. But like the person who's working out in the gym, if car is left uncontrolled, then it will necessarily get worse. If we can coin the phrase kaas goyer kaas, we have a concept mitzvah goyer mitzvah aveira goyer aveira kaas goyer kaas. The more often somebody becomes angry, the more often he'll become angry, and the angrier he will become, because he has not in any way worked on the underlying cause of that anger, which was gaiva. So necessarily, the ani will become inflated, and by definition, the reaction to it will become kaas, and it will continuously get worse. The opposite is true as well. When a person works on the shoyresh of kaas, which is anava, it does not mean and cannot mean that overnight he can eliminate being a kohen, but it will become minimized, such that it is not an all-or-nothing game, like Avodas HaMidos never is. A person who has a project to become less angry, there may well be ups and downs. But if he has a sustained period of time in which he works on kaas, then even on occasion where he slips up, and that's legitimate because that's part of Avodas Hashem, to occasionally slip up. But even if that happens, he will become less angry on the day that he did not succeed. Had he left it uncontrolled, it will just be a rise in his graph. It will just be a slope going upwards and upwards and upwards. That will be the trend. So it's an avoidah, it needs sustained avoidah. It's avoidah that we need to recognize the shayrish of. The shayrish of the avoidah is the middle of gaiva. And as we said, it's not an overnight job. If I remember correctly, on one occasion, when I was in the Grand Shul, the great Mashpia and Tzadik of Tzimaya Zilberberg came to speak before Yom Ha'Neiroim. And he spoke about this concept, and he actually gave the example of Kaas. And he said that something came to him absolutely broken, a broken yeast. And he said to the Rebbe, he said to Tzimaya, he said, I have a terrible anger management problem. I get angry at everybody, at my wife, at my children, at my neighbors, at my colleagues. I'm always getting angry. And it's bringing me down. I just cannot control it, and it's ruining me and breaking me. So Zimaya said to him, tell me, how often do you get angry? And how long has this been going on for? And incredibly, this person actually was fully aware exactly of when he got angry and how often it was. He recorded it, whether it was once a day or twice a day or three times a week or five times a week. And Reb Tzimaya asked him to make a cheshbon approximately of how often it is that he's getting angry. And he came to a terrific figure, whatever it may be, over the last year, maybe 500 times. And they discussed on how to work on it, and he said to him, come back next year. And the next year he came back and he said, Tzimaya, I tried to work, I'm still getting angry. He said, did you make a cheshbon this year as opposed to the preceding year? How many times you got angry? He said, I did. He said, what did it come to? Well, it wasn't quite 500 times, I must be honest, but it was still a good 400. And he said, Mazel Tov, you're a tremendous Baal Tshuva. You're a tremendous Baal Tshuva. The Mokhem Shel Baalei Tshuva Oyimdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Oyimdim. It's true, you haven't reached the end of your mission yet, but on 100 occasions where you might well have got angry, and you did in the past, through extended and sustained avodah, this year you didn't. That is a tremendous avodah of Tshuva. How well equipped you've come to Yom Ha'Neiroim, how chovid that is to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is really our project. And as I mentioned, it's true in all mitzvos, whether it be in Chesed or Hakaras HaTov, which we studied in the past, or Kaas, which we're beginning now. It's never an all or nothing overnight project. It cannot be. And if we think that it will be, then we need to know from the outset that we will be unsuccessful. But if we know the shayrish of the middle, and we know what it is we're trying to tackle, and how terrible the middle of Kaas can become, when one literally becomes a shikur, when one literally becomes a choser das, a shayter, then we have all the rocks in the world to work on it, and we know where it is that we need to be planting our efforts, and that is in the middle of Gaiva. Of course, it's true, there are situations that can generate Kaas more easily. And therefore, of course, if we're looking for an easy tip, that should certainly be tip number one. We all recognize in our own homes or lives which situations there are that can cause Kaas. Whether it be the last half an hour before Shabbos, or we're trying to remember 75 things, or it may well be now in the lead up to Purim on an era of Shabbos, which is difficult, busy times. So we need to troubleshoot and plan well. That could be our first tip. To be honest, that's not anger management. Rather, that's avoiding situations which will get us angry in the first place. But undoubtedly, that's a very important part of our avodah. So, Be'ezus Hashem, with tefillah as always, and with Siyata Dishmaya, we have embarked on our new project, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help. And I mentioned this in the Yonah Diyema, we should have Siyata Dishmaya, even in the Avodah, the not so easy Avodah of becoming Shikra on Purim. If the Ani will come through, then let's make sure that that's the type of Ani that I don't mind being seen. I wish everybody a Hatzlacha Rabbah in our new project.